Well, before we begin our Torah study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Last week, we were talking about two kinds of breakthroughs, those that come suddenly and those that come ma'at, ma'at, little by little. And this week, I want to focus on a way that breakthroughs can come to us, a way that victory can come to us, and it's through a spiritual stirring. There are times when God wants to do something, and he'll stir you in your spirit. He'll stir your heart, and you'll have a sense of things, and your desire will bear witness to what the will of God is. And I want to encourage you this morning as we're studying the scriptures to pay attention to the stirrings that are in you already. There may be things that God has been stirring up, desires that you have that come from him, and plans that are becoming important to you that you know actually came from him. Now, I want to start by reading a scripture that is in Exodus chapter 35, verse 21. This is not in this week's portion. We'll read it in the weeks to come. But it's connected to this week's portion because it talks about how Moses called for the terumah offering, a special offering where the children of Israel would bring the very best from the top, if you will, the cream of the crop, the very best, the finest that they had, the first portions, and use that for the building of the sanctuary of the tabernacle as God had directed. And Exodus 35, 21 tells us the response, and it has a detail that's not included in this week's reading, and so I want to point this out to you. It says, "And so they came, they responded, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit was willing." This week when we're reading, we'll see about the heart stirring, but in Exodus 35, 21, it joins two things together, the heart and the spirit. Can you say that with me? The heart and the spirit. Just like hope and faith are joined together, the heart and the spirit are joined together too. And this tells us that the people who gave, the people who responded to the call for the terumah offering were responding from their heart and from their spirit. Their heart stirred them up or made them willing, and their spirit was willing. They were stirred by the Holy Spirit, and they were stirred in their own spirits. So this week's Torah portion is going to help us focus on stirrings of the heart and spiritual stirrings. With that in mind, let's turn to Exodus chapter 25. We'll read together the first nine verses. You can follow together in your scriptures. Verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." And the word for offering there is terumah. Verse 3, "And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and other precious stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." That was a guiding scripture that motivated us to actually build this sanctuary. God wants to be with us, and he delights to be in our midst, to live inside of us and to live among us. Verse 9, "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." So he says, "Speak to the children of Israel that they would bring to me an offering." This was not the idea of Moses, nor was it the idea of the children of Israel. Who came up with this idea? God did. God said to Moses, "You tell Israel to bring to me an offering." And this will help us understand something about stirrings. Stirrings originate with the Lord, and you and I become aware of them only when we get in touch with the fact that our spirit is being stirred by God. And Moses is being given a very careful instruction from the Lord. You're to receive this offering, to take this offering only from certain kinds of people. Not from the rich, that's not the question, not from the poor. It's not a question of how much money you have. Not from one group of people versus another group, not from the old or the young, not from the men, not from the women, but from people who have one and only one characteristic. They have a willing heart. They have a heart that desires to give. These are the people, when they hear from Moses that it's time for a Terumah offering, their heart will actually respond and they'll say, oh, I want to do that. And God is telling us something. He wants to build his house, his spiritual house, not just the physical house, but a spiritual house with people who have a desire to be with him, a desire to respond to him. Now, the offering has some specificity to it. What are the metals that the children of Israel are told they can bring? Call your answer out loud. Gold, silver, bronze. What about copper? Copper's a nice metal. No. Platinum. No platinum. Bronze. Yeah. What about brass? Nope. Specific metals are described there. And then look through this list and tell me some colors of things. Blue? Purple? Scarlet? Any other colors? Red. Where's the yellow? It's not mentioned, right? The gold is in the metal, but it's not in the fabric. You see, there's a color scheme and there's a fine design scheme that the Lord is specifying for. And then what animals can contribute to this? Badgers. Who even knew there were all these badgers to be had? Badger skin. What other skins? Ram. And threads from a certain animal. Goat. Yeah, so these are specified. I mean, my wife is a wonderful designer. She had the concept for this whole sanctuary and the building, and she thinks like this, specific details. The Lord is saying to Moses, here are the details. I want you not to come up with the design. I want you to recognize the design that I want you to use. It's beautiful to have clarity about the design. Now, it also says linen is to be given. What kind of linen? Fine linen. Not cheap stuff, right? So what's the thread count on fine linen? Can someone tell me? Anybody? It just make something up. 600, yeah, you were here last night. Yeah, because Brendan Miller said 600's fine. Because, you know, with sheets, 600 is good, right? 600, okay, we'll call it that. Fine linen. Don't bring the junk. Don't bring the stuff that's going to wear out. Bring the good stuff. Oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. There's a sensory aspect to all of this. That's visual, but it's also fragrant. There's a lot of beauty in the onyx stones and then the other precious stones. There's real clarity about this. And the Lord is saying to Moses, according to all that I show you, you see, Moses didn't come up with the plan. God showed him something. According to Hebrews, the Lord showed Moses the heavenly temple. Do you know that the Jerusalem temple was meant to represent the heavenly temple so that you and I would yearn for the day when we could be in the heavenly temple? The design of the sanctuary, the design that Moses is given and that ultimately is later built in Jerusalem, is meant to replicate in some fashion the heavenly temple. And that's important to know, that already a heavenly temple existed, and already there was vision that could be obtained, but it had to come from God. God had to give Moses that vision, and then to give King David that vision. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us that this temple that was built with human hands was really, in a sense, like a replica and like a shadow of something that's even more substantial that exists in heaven. And Hebrews also teaches us that Yeshua died as a sacrifice not for the Jerusalem temple, but for the heavenly temple, in order to fulfill something that the Jerusalem temple was meant to point towards. You see, God said to Moses, you build this sanctuary so that I can dwell among them, or I can dwell in their midst. And even in the Hebrew, within them, it's trying to say. And Yeshua tells his disciples that when he rises from the dead and ascends into heaven, that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you see, is a fulfillment of what we're reading about here. He brings into fullness something. God desires to dwell in the midst of us in several different ways. And one way is that he wants to dwell inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is given to you. So Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection is to be understood in a specific way. It was something necessary for the sake of the heavenly temple and for the universe at large, so that the Holy Spirit could be sent to dwell within you. So that we would not only have a physical sanctuary that would help us imagine and experience the presence of God, but we would be able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a key grace that God shows to us, and this passage from Exodus is pointing us to that. The heavenly temple that existed in eternity needed a sacrifice, and Yeshua was that sacrifice. And he, Yeshua, enables us to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, as we look at this passage, let's go back to this idea of those whose hearts are moved. Take up this offering. Take up this offering from those whose hearts are moved, whose hearts are stirred, who have a desire. You see, generosity, the kind of generosity that God wants to cultivate in us, is first of all the generosity that responds to God's leadership. God is generous to us, and he's saying to us, I want you to learn to be generous in response to my stirrings in your heart. I'll give you a stirring. I'll put it in your heart. Now, here's the thing. It's easier to agree with the idea of giving than it is to actually do it. It's easier to say, if I had it, I would give it. I mean, just imagine right now that you get a check in the mail. It's an extra $1 million you weren't expecting. Okay. When you go home, it'll be there. So just imagine, how much of that would you like to give away? So, a large portion. Okay, what if it was $1 billion? Would that make it easier for you? That's 1,000 million. So you could give even more away. It's easier to think about giving away than it is to actually do it. The Lord is speaking here. I want to find people whose hearts can be moved, number one. And number two, who can be moved to action. You see, it's one thing to have the desire. It's another thing to actually fulfill it. The house of God is going to be built because people respond to the stirring of their spirits by God. They actually respond. They don't just have the stirring, they respond to the stirring. God's looking for people who are responsive to Him. That's why Yeshua talks so much about hearing and doing. And He teaches us to abide with Him so that desires can rise up in our heart, and then we can fulfill those desires through prayer and action. It's also why both Moses and Yeshua agree on something. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But first with the heart. You see, it's actually possible to know about God with your mind and yet not love Him with your heart. And that's, I think, why God says, you start by loving with your heart, and then you'll be able to love me with your mind. If you love with the heart, the mind can come along and they can fit together, and then you can love with every part of your being. So God not only wants to stir us, He wants us to do something. So when we think about stirring, we have to understand it completely. Stirring means move to action. It means our hearts are willing and we're thinking positively. We want to see something happen, and then we do what we're stirred to do. So one of the most basic things we have to learn is that when we're stirred, we have to say yes to the stirring and to actually allow what's being stirred in us to produce action. It's not enough to say, I had the feeling. I felt it. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord showed me. That's good. Did you do it? And so this morning, I want you to think clearly about putting into action the things that God is stirring up in you. And to help us along, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a passage that has a few very short verses, some of the shortest verses in one passage in all of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. There's a little recipe here. We've been talking about recipes, how you get the right ingredients and put everything together. So verse 16 says, be joyful always. Can you say that with me? Be joyful always. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Say that with me. Pray continually. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Say that with me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Let's repeat that together. For this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. What's the will of God according to this passage? To be joyful always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. And then verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Or do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? Sometimes people think this is quenching only the Holy Spirit, but I think it's quenching our own spirit too, that hears from and can respond to the Holy Spirit. So we quench the Spirit when the Spirit is willing and desires to do something that God is stirring up in us, and we say no instead of yes. That's when we put the fire of the Spirit out. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench your own spirit. Pay attention then when you're stirred. You can be stirred in a lot of different ways. You could be stirred to pray for someone. In the last few weeks, I've had many situations where people have told me about a need or an issue that they or one of their loved ones is facing or someone they care about is facing. And the Spirit of God stirs my spirit to pray. Have you had that happen recently where you feel like, oh, I need to pray? And there have been a few times when I've said, I will pray for you about that. And then I go away without having prayed. And I found my spirit's not content when I've been doing that recently. Has that happened to anybody else? Can you just wave at me if it's happened to you? Okay, so I'm talking to the right people. because we're dealing with something that we have to learn about and to grow up in. There have been times, though, when I've been stirred to pray, and at that time, I actually pray. And I've noticed the difference between how I feel after that. When I do pray, I feel content. I feel like something happened when I prayed. I feel like I was responding to God and it was pleasing to Him, and that breakthroughs might come. I'm expectant after I pray like that. Has anybody had that same experience? Raise your hand. Let's see. Okay, so the very same people can have both experiences. We can be stirred to pray and then we say, I will pray later. And we can be stirred to pray, and we pray right now, and we know, wow, right now was the right time. Sometimes people say, I'll pray about that for you, and never get around to doing that. Have you ever had that experience? I will pray. It's sort of like that Southern, you come see us, which means don't come over right now. You can be stirred to pray. People can be stirred to give. People can be stirred to serve. And when you're stirred, the most important thing is to try saying yes and to try doing what it is that you're being stirred about. Ma'at, ma'at, little by little. You exercise your spiritual muscle by taking that step and doing the thing that you're being stirred to do. There were times when I wasn't doing cardio at the gym and I was supposed to. And so one time I thought, well, I'm just gonna set a really good goal. And I said to my trainer, I'm going to come and I'm going to do cardio 3 times a week. And he just smiled. He said, once would be an improvement. Sometimes we will set bigger goals for ourselves because we know where we want to get to, but the fact is we're having a hard time doing the first step. Can you identify with that? Ma'at, ma'at means little by little. That means you exercise your spiritual muscle, you say yes to God about a little thing, and then you say yes to God later about another little thing, and you find you're getting a little stronger, a little bit more faithful, more responsive. You say yes, and things start to happen. And you test yourself on all of this by making sure that you're saying yes to what you know God wants done. Something that He wants. It's not saying yes to your appetites, but yes to Him and the things that He wants to do. We may have an opinion. We may have what we want. We may say, well, listen, I have got a pile of platinum. I'm going to bring it to the sanctuary. And you could bring all the platinum you've got to the sanctuary when Moses is receiving the offering. And you know what? They'll look at it and they say, we don't need any of this. You can have it back. It's for you. This isn't for the sanctuary. But I've got a lot of it. And I'm willing to give it. Nope. No, thank you. You can sell it and then go get some gold. There are times when it's not our own opinion and what we want. It's what God is wanting to do, and we learn to say yes to Him. And sometimes when we say yes to Him, we'll be surprised by what we're saying yes to. I compare spiritual growth with physical growth because the principles are very much the same. Getting stronger physically and getting stronger spiritually happen in similar ways, which is little by little, step by step. Little by little you do things, and what you find is your strength increases little by little. You might say, well, I want to be a strong person, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lift 500 pounds. And if you try, you'll probably hurt yourself. I have lots of rabbi and pastor friends, and sometimes we'll get together in different ways, and we can say, well, how are you doing? And people say, well, I'm praying for my congregation. I'm praying that we'll reach 1,000. And you know the situation, and you say, well, great day, you'd do well if you reached 50. Sometimes we try to impress each other by setting high goals, ambitious goals, and it seems like it's great faith. It may be, but it may be nothing as well. Because the hard thing is to go step by step and to do the little bit that's in front of you. I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Have you ever said that? I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Try to lose 2 pounds. When we were young believers, we went to a seminar on how to pray for 1 hour. It was great. And lots of people went. Based on my experience with the people that went, and my own experience, very few people actually ended up praying for 1 hour as a result. And so I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound a little bit crazy, counterintuitive. But it's better to say, I'm going to pray for 1 minute if you're starting than to say, I'm going to pray for an hour. And I'll tell you why. Most people who say, I'm going to pray for an hour can't do it. They don't do it. They try to do it. Oh, they might find a way to do it for a day or two or three. But eventually and quickly, they won't be able to do it, and then they'll give up. Now, you might go to visit some friends, some other believers, and they'll say, well, what did you hear this weekend? And you'll say, well, my rabbi's encouraging us to pray for 1 minute. And they may say, well, my rabbi encourages us to pray for 1 hour. It's like, wow. Here's why I want to encourage you to pray for 1 minute. Because if you can pray for 1 minute every day, you'll get stronger in prayer. And you may find if you pray for 1 minute every day, that the day comes when you can pray for 2 minutes. Now, that's not impressive, is it? It's not going to impress anybody. You know what? I pray for 60 whole seconds. That's my attention span. But I tell you this, if you pray for a minute, you can grow. The hardest thing is not praying for a minute. The hardest thing is praying. The hardest thing is to pray every day. And as you start to pray every day, you can grow stronger in it. As you start to read a little bit of your Bible, I would say, oh, it's good to read the Bible in a year. It's good to read the Bible in 3 years. It's good to read a verse a day if that's all you can. One verse a day is good. As a start. You see, it turns out if you have high ambitions but you don't have small goals to get you there, it's very likely that you're not going to reach any of your high ambitions and you will be disappointed. That will mean your hope will turn into disappointment rather than into joy. Now, if you start with 1 minute and you say, here's my plan, I'm going to pray 1 minute every single day, I'm not going to allow myself to go to sleep without having prayed for a solid 60 seconds cumulative during the course of the day. Oh, I prayed for 15 seconds here, 15 seconds there, 30 there. That gives me 60 seconds. I'm good. That's a good start. I'll actually rejoice with you if that's what you do. If you say, Rabbi, I have been praying for the last 32 years every day. I only pray for a minute or two, but I pray every day. I'll rejoice with you. Setting big goals is not the most important thing. Moving step by step, little by little, ma'at, ma'at, is even more important because that little by little will cause you to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Progress is a powerful thing. I want to encourage you. Some of you have a great desire to give. You want to give freely. You want to participate in more giving. You want to be generous. And I can tell you this, resources become available to those who want to give. God is looking for people who he can trust to pass on resources faithfully. And it works even with tithing. When we give our tithes, we give from the top, if you will, not from the bottom. We give the first. When the Lord said, bring to me a lamb, what kind of lamb was he looking for? One without spot or blemish, right? He wanted the best. He wanted the firstborn. He wanted the first fruits of the crop. You see, God is looking for the best, and sometimes he speaks to Israel and says, you ought to be ashamed. You didn't bring me the best. You brought me the worst. You brought me the leftovers, not the best. God's looking for the best, and when it comes to our tithing, some people will say, well, I can't tithe because after I've paid everything, I don't have anything left over. And what that means is they want to give from the bottom 10%. Does that make sense? Is it all right if I talk like this? I'm just trying to be real clear. And God says, listen, if you'll give from the top 10%, I'll work with you so that what you have left over will be more than enough, and I'm going to pour out more blessings on you so that you'll have so much blessing you won't have room for it. God says, you give me from the first, I'll make everything last and multiply. Now, I know that, because I've talked to quite a few people, some people are saying, Rabbi, I want to do this, but I need to get started. How can I get started? Well, I'll tell you how to get started. There are two ways. One is just start. Right? That's one way. Just start. Say, okay, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what happens. And the other way is build up to it. Now, here's how to build up to it. I'll give you the simple 10-week plan, how to build up to giving a tithe. The first week, you give 1%. The second week, you give 2%. The third week, you give what? That was clear, right? That was not hard. The fourth week, you give 4%. Are you with me? And on the ninth week, you give 9%. And on the 10th week, you give 10%. And on the 10th week, you become a tither. For the first 9 weeks, you're working up to it. On the 10th week, you actually get there. And you say, okay, so it's step by step, 1% here, another percent, and you find that over that time, you get to the point where you're trying to be. And you give from the top, not from the bottom. And you give in faith, not with compulsion. You give because your heart's willing as well. You give joyfully and gladly, and you give expectantly. Now, one of the things that's important that happens when you give from the top is you think carefully about the bottom. Am I right, tithers? I'm right, because if all you've got to work with is the 90% that's left, you're going to be careful about that. Now, let me ask you a question. I asked this question last night. Have you ever bought anything that was a total waste of money? Hey, can you look in your closet and find some of those things? Can you look in your kitchen and find them? And you know, here in Florida, we don't have basements because they'd be underwater. And so what we have are storage units somewhere. We have garages. And people take the stuff that they don't have room for in their house or their apartment, and they put it in the storage unit. And then when that gets filled up, they get another one, and then they try to combine them, and then you know what it is. And then here's the sad truth. Old people here in Florida, you know, it used to be an old people state. The old people die, and then their children discover these storage rooms. And they go and they look at it and they say, oh man, so much junk. And then they have to throw away what their parents didn't throw away. Isn't that the truth? How many of you have had to throw out some of your parents' stuff after they die? Yeah. And how many of us are guilty of holding on to things that really we don't need, that we don't even want? And there was one point where Sandy said to me, you can't buy any more clothes unless you throw something away or give it away. And then she said, and you've got some stuff you don't even wear. And she would ask me about giving it away. And I don't know what it was about me. I would like, oh, I have this fond memory about one time I wore that. I didn't want her to give it away. And so I just said to her, listen, don't even ask. Just do it. And I probably won't even notice you did it. Kim Jacobs once told me that she just hides stuff in her car trunk from, isn't that right, Kim? Yeah. So when she sees stuff her husband's not using anymore, she puts it in her car trunk for a month or two. If he doesn't notice it, it's out of there. It's a great system, right? All of us have stuff we don't need. But all of us waste money on things. And every dollar we waste is a dollar we can't save. It's a dollar we can't give away. It's a dollar we can't use to pay down debt, right? And so wasting is what we end up doing with all of the stuff if we're not generous towards God. We end up wasting stuff. Not only that, some things just wear out. The Lord says, I can make your stuff not wear out. I can protect you. So there is a great trust that comes and it develops and it gets stronger as you realize God really is faithful to work with us when we respond to him. And so I want to encourage you because this is a key to get out of the economic system of the world and into God's economy, which all of us need to be participating in, because all of us know how unreliable the world economy is. And those who thought it was reliable, we found out it wasn't. It's not going to get more reliable next week. You may get a better job, hallelujah. But if you want to rise up above the world economy, you want to participate in God's economy, which is higher than the world economy, and it will work for your good. Step by step, little by little, taking steps because it's in your heart. And this is the key thing, to desire. When we want to give, when we want to be responsive to God, desire is the first part of it. The second part of it is action. So without desire, there won't be action. But with desire, sometimes there's no action because we quench the desire. So I want to encourage you, and I want to close by praying for everyone who wants the stirrings in their heart to be manifest in the actions of their lives, who want to be able to say yes to God. You know God's stirring you about certain things, and you want to say yes to him. There are things you don't have that you know he would like you to have and you would like to have in life. It may be children, it may be marriage, it may be a house, it may be resources, it may be a job, it may be a family, it may be a vacation, it may be money to give, resources to give to others, it may be time. God knows how to speak to us and stir things up in us. And I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I thank you that you're stirring us in our hearts. You're stirring our minds. You're stirring our spirits. And you are wanting to bring into reality things we don't currently have. You are not just wanting to waste resources. You're wanting us to steward resources, to steward our time, to steward our talents, our gifts, our abilities. And so we're coming before you, Lord, and we're thanking you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who stirs us. Thank you that you stir our hearts to give. Thank you, Lord, that we are almost one full year here in the new synagogue. Next week will be one full year. Thank you for the stirring that led to this. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to stir us. Stir us in ministry. Stir us in generosity. Stir us in obedience. Stir us in prayer. Stir us in faith. Stir us in bold proclamation of your word and the good news of Yeshua. Stir us, O God, so that we can say yes to you. And I pray for everyone who's saying yes and everyone who's doing in obedience what you have put on their hearts and in their minds. I pray that you would grant them success and grant them fruit little by little, ma'at ma'at, until they see the full bounty of what you have shown them. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close our service with Aaron's blessing. Don't stand alone. If you see someone standing by themselves, just go get them. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasamlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.